IPE@WU Analysis, the podcast by students of the Institute for International Political Economy.
Wondered why two neighboring countries sharing so much in history and culture can be worlds apart in their approach to something as cutting edge as fintech? With this question, I want to welcome you to our podcast, Exploring Fintech Regulation in Southeast Asia. I'm Letizia, and today we will discuss some reasons why Malaysia has developed extensive fintech regulation while Indonesia has not. Therefore, I have invited two special guests and financial experts, Verena from Malaysia and Leonard from Indonesia.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Okay, great. At first sight, Malaysia and Indonesia are very similar countries, as they are both emerging ones. Their geographic proximity, colonial past, diverse ethnic compositions contribute to a mutual resemblance in societal norms, religious practices, economic landscapes. However, regarding fintech regulations, they have developed different strategies. So, Verena, could you briefly explain the situation in Malaysia?
Initiatives and regulations to foster innovation while ensuring consumer protection and financial stability. The second main regulatory body in Malaysia is the Securities Commission, which regulate and develop the capital market systematically. Securities Commission was one of the first regulator in Asian region to introduce equity crowdfunding guidelines. There are different key points which explains the regulation system in Malaysia, like the regulatory sandbox framework, which allow fintech companies to test innovative financial products and services in a controlled environment while containing risks. Another point is the payment system and services Bank Negara Malaysia has introduced. There are many guidelines and regulations concerning the payment system, including e-wallets, digital payments, and remittance services. These regulations aim to ensure the security and efficiency of digital payment transactions. Malaysia had also taken steps to regulate the use of cryptocurrencies and digital assets. BNM issued guidelines to regulate cryptocurrency exchanges as part of efforts to combat money laundering and terrorism financing while providing clarity. Also important to mention is that we try to focus on ensuring adequate consumer protection measures in fintech services.
Thank you very much, Verena, for your brief explanation. We will get back to this later on. Now it's your turn, Leonard. What is the actual situation in your country regarding fintech?
So the financial technology industry in Indonesia is primarily regulated by two main entities, Bank Indonesia and the Financial Services Authority, OJK. Bank Indonesia is our central bank that regulates fintech related monetary policies and the matters relating to payments, also functions to monitor the financial stability, whereas OJK regulates the financial services sector, particularly fintech that provides financial services, such as digital banking, crowdfunding, insurtech, investment, and market aggregators. OJK also incorporates managing the registration, security, and licensing of fintech firms. Companies in Indonesia are required to obtain licenses or registrations from the OJK to operate legally. Like Verena already mentioned, before talking about Malaysia, the consumer protection is also very important to the regulations in Indonesia. There are numerous guidelines on transparency, fair practices, data protection, and much more to safeguard consumers. Another point to mention is the risk management and the collaboration with banks. Fintech firms in Indonesia are required to establish robust risk management frameworks and regularly report their operations and financial status to the OJK. The collaboration between fintech firms and traditional banks is encouraged, allowing greater financial inclusion and access to services.
Okay, well, thank you too, Leonard. So now we have already some insights into the actual situation in both countries. Listening to you, it really looks like Indonesia's approach to fintech regulation is evolving, but it's comparatively less extensive than Malaysia's. Malaysia's regulatory framework for fintech is more established and comprehensive, covering a wider range of fintech services with specific guidelines and licensing requirements. Indonesia's regulatory framework for fintech, instead, has fewer specific regulation across all segments. Dear listeners, are you curious to discover the reason behind these differences? Keep listening to our podcast. We will try to find an explanation. Okay, so we already got to know about the different strategies in both countries. But why do you, as financial expert, think that this topic regarding fintechs is in general important? Leonard, would you like to state your opinion?
Of course. I think it is an upcoming important topic due to automation, digitalization, globalization, and the evolving financial landscape. Fintech is transforming how we handle money, both personally and in business. The rapid pace of innovation in fintech is crucial as it challenges traditional financial institutions to adapt, ensuring that they remain competitive and relevant. This is particularly significant in the context of developing economies like Indonesia and Malaysia, for example, where fintech can leapfrog traditional banking infrastructure. Additionally, the regulatory aspects of fintech are key in shaping a robust, secure, and equitable financial environment. As we delve into the cases of Indonesia and Malaysia, we can see how differing regulatory frameworks impact the growth and direction of fintech, influencing everything from consumer protection to market innovation. Hence, understanding fintech is not just about technology, it's about intersection of finance, technology, regulation, and societal change.
Thank you so much. And what about you, Verena? What do you think about the topic?
So, I totally agree with Leonard's opinion. Just a few things that I will add is that fintech companies offer easily accessible financial services through mobile apps or online platforms. So it is very easy to use financial products regardless of the location. Fintech is also important because through financial inclusion, it can help include people in developing countries or those with limited access to traditional banking services. Overall, the fintech industry contributes to making the financial world more efficient, accessible, and innovative, benefiting both consumers and businesses with new opportunities and improved financial services.
Okay, so both of you agree that fintech is especially important today and is indispensable?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so in summary, we have covered how Malaysia and Indonesia differ in fintech regulation. Malaysia, as explained by Verena, has a comprehensive framework with initiatives for innovation, consumer protections, and digital payment security. Leonard described why Indonesia's focus on consumer protection and collaboration between fintech and banks through their regulation are less extensive than Malaysia's. We also touched on the broader significance of fintech in reshaping finance through technology and regulation. Next, we will explore the reasons behind these differences in regulatory approaches.
Yes, exactly.
And we learned the following about Indonesia, that the Bank Indonesia regulates fintech related to the monetary policy, while OJK regulates the financial services sector. Also, Leonard mentioned earlier that it's necessary for companies to obtain licenses or registration from the OJK to operate legally.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so perfect. Let's delve deeper into the topic of fintech regulations. As mentioned before, the aim of our podcast is to find a possible explanation behind the different extensions of the regulatory frameworks of the two countries. So, Leonard, do you have any idea? Have you come up with any hypotheses?
Yeah, sure. I've studied the topic deeply and I've come to the conclusion that these differences are probably due to the regulatory capacity and financial sector sophistication. Malaysia has historically boasted a more developed and sophisticated financial sector compared to Indonesia. This maturity might have necessitated more comprehensive and proactive regulation to maintain stability while embracing fintech innovation. The country's regulatory bodies might have had more capacity, expertise, and resources to expedite the formulation and implementation of fintech-specific regulations.
Thank you. It looks like a really good explanation. But what do you think, Verena? Do you agree with Lennart's thesis or do you have a different opinion on the topic?
Well, so personally, I believe that Lennart's point is really interesting, but I do not totally agree with him. In my opinion, we should instead look at the policy agility and prioritization. Malaysia might have shown greater policy agility and prioritization toward fintech regulation compared to Indonesia. This could stem from a deliberate policy focus on promoting fintech innovation while ensuring a secure financial environment. The government might have recognized the potential of fintech early on, leading to faster regulatory responses and a more conducive environment for fintech development.
Okay, well, thank you. It's always so fascinating listening to the opinions of experts like the two of you, and it's so hard to decide which is the best approach. So, summing up, Lennart believes that the reason is the different level of sophistication of the two financial sectors, while Verena's approach is focused on the different degrees of policy agility and prioritization towards fintech regulation. Am I right?
Yes, definitely.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you both for your insightful perspectives. It's indeed a challenging task to determine which explanation better captures the essence of the regulatory divergence between Malaysia and Indonesia in fintech. After carefully considering both arguments, I lean towards Lennart's explanation. Yeah, his emphasis on the historical sophistication and development level of Malaysian financial sector as a key driver for its comprehensive regulatory frameworks seems particularly compelling. This perspective resonates with the idea that a more mature financial ecosystem would naturally demand and facilitate more sophisticated and extensive regulatory measures. Lennart's viewpoint also subtly suggests that the evolution of financial regulation is somewhat proportional to the evolution of the financial sector itself. While Verena's argument about policy agility and prioritization is indeed valid and presents an interesting angle, it seems to be a part of a larger picture rather than the core reason. Policy decisions are often influenced by the underlying economic and financial realities. Therefore, the sophistication and maturity of the financial sector, as highlighted by Lennart, appear to be more fundamental factors driving the regulatory approaches in Malaysia compared to Indonesia. That being said, both explanations are valuable, and in reality, the difference in fintech regulations between the two countries is likely a result of multiple interrelated factors, including those mentioned by both of our experts. It's a complex interplay of economic, political, and technological elements that shapes such regulatory landscapes. Thank you, Verena and Lennart, for bringing your expertise to these discussions. Do you agree with me?
Totally.
Yes. Unfortunately, I must admit that Lennart's explanation sounded more convincing.
Okay, great. So we have a winner. Congratulations, Lennart. To round off or to summarize our podcast, we can say that today we have uncovered the differing fintech regulatory landscapes in Malaysia and Indonesia. Exploring the viewpoints from our two amazing experts, we considered whether Malaysia's more advanced regulations are attributed to its sophisticated financial sector or to prioritization towards fintech regulation. We agreed on the fact that Lennart was right. The most plausible option is the more developed financial sector and the higher regulatory capacity of Malaysia. Personally, I believe that this topic is really interesting, and I'm sure our listeners think the same. But I think that they might be very curious to know whether it's possible to generalize this explanation. What do you think, Leonard? What conclusion might we draw from major societal issues such as inequality, climate change, or justice?
Regarding inequality, I would say that disparities in fintech regulations may widen or narrow the gap in financial inclusion, affecting marginalized groups' access to financial services. Comprehensive regulations, instead, could potentially bridge this divide by enabling greater accessibility to financial tools.
Oh, that's really interesting. And what about justice, Verena? What do you think might be the implications?
I believe that fintech regulations influence financial justice by determining access to services and opportunities. Stricter regulations might ensure fair practices, protecting consumers and fostering trust in financial services, thereby promoting financial justice.
Thank you so much to our guests. You have provided us with very valuable insights into fintech regulation. As we conclude, dear listeners, remember, your engagement shapes the future of fintech. Be the catalyst for change. Advocate for clear, fair regulations. Together, let's build a financial landscape that fosters innovation while safeguarding consumers. Your voice matters. Thank you all for listening. If you have any questions regarding our podcast, feel free to get in touch with me or directly with our financial experts, Verena and Leonard. Bye.
Bye. Have a nice day.
Bye.
Want more information? Visit the Institute for International Political Economy at www.wu.ac.at/IPE. You will find podcasts analyzing current events, TikTok videos defining key concepts, and courses explaining the world.